Living the Christian life is the most blessed life on this earth. There's not another life like the Christian life. There might be others who would disagree, and for sure others who don't understand it. But living the Christian life is the most blessed life there is on this earth. But yet, we also understand at the very same time that living the Christian life can be a challenge. It doesn't remove the blessings, and it doesn't negate the blessings, but it can be a challenge. And sometimes the challenges that come to us as Christians can make us a little uncomfortable, make us perhaps a little uneasy. Sometimes those challenges can even make us a little uncertain about things. But as you think about living the Christian life this morning, as you think about the new year, 2015, can you believe it is 2015? As you think about the new year, with the new days, weeks, months, the new opportunities that this year is going to bring to you, the challenges that will stand before you, even as a child of God, how are we going to meet these challenges? How can we as Christians, how can we ever be successful living this Christian life? How can we ever thrive as a Christian? How can we triumph living a Christian life? How can you and I grow as Christians? Let me tell you how it won't happen. You and I will not thrive or triumph or succeed as a Christian on our own. It won't happen. We will fail miserably if we're going to try to grow and succeed as a Christian on our own. And believe it or not, we will not truly succeed as Christians. We will not truly triumph as Christians, even together and working at it together. Because if that's all that we have, we still will not get there. But this morning, I want all of us to have reaffirmed in our hearts and to have solidified even more in our lives today that while we cannot do these things on our own, while we cannot succeed and survive and thrive as a Christian on our own, with God we can. And that's what we need to walk out of here today having built our faith upon. And that is, no matter what challenges are going to come our way, with God we can. No matter what lies before us this year and whatever years the Lord may have in store for us in our life, with God we can overcome. With God we can succeed. With God we can grow. With God we can make it to heaven together. This morning I want us to come to the Bible, and I want us to see that Bible principle exemplified on the pages of your Bible. Go to your Bible in Numbers chapter 13. And we're going to look at a couple passages this morning just briefly. But I want us to see how much those who lived back in the days of the Old Testament, back in the days of the writing of the New Testament, I want us to go back and see how much they believed this principle, how much they lived by this principle. Go to Numbers chapter 13. On this occasion, in Numbers chapter 13, the Israelites are standing at the Promised Land. They are there. They are on the border of the Promised Land. They're ready to take it. And so on this occasion, Moses sends the 12 spies to go and to spy out the land for 40 days to see what this land was like, to bring back word of what this land was like, to bring back the fruit of this land. And so here they are waiting, the children of Israel standing at the Promised Land, waiting for 40 days for these spies to come back. And when the spies come back in Numbers chapter 13, they bring back part of its fruit. And they say in verse 27, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. This is a great land. The Lord has provided us a wonderful land. Here is the fruit of it." But look at the first part of verse 28. You always got the naysayers. Here's the land. Here's how wonderful it is. Here's what the Lord is giving to us. "Nevertheless, people who dwell in the land are strong. They have fortified cities that are very strong and very large, and the descendants of Anak live in that land." So in verse 30, Caleb, one of the faithful, quiets the people in verse 30 and he says, let us go up at once and take possession of it. Look at what he says. For we are able to overcome it. But look at what happens in the next verse. Caleb says, we are able. But verse 31, the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able. Now, which one is it? Are they able or are they not able? They're saying both things. One group saying, we are able. The other group says, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 33, we saw giants in the land. We're like grasshoppers, not only in their sight, we're like grasshoppers even in our own sight. We cannot do this. And so they continue to go back and forth. Finally, Caleb stands up again. And in Numbers chapter 14, Joshua, verse 6, and Caleb, these two faithful spies, after hearing these dissenters, after hearing these naysayers, after hearing these defeatists who say, we can't do this, they tear their clothes. In verse 6, they spoke to all the congregation and said, the land we passed through, we saw it. The land we passed through is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then He will bring us into the land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them. Now look at this. Don't fear them. They are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with them. Us. No, on our own, we are not able to take this land. But we are able to enter into the promised land. Why? Because with God, we can. Joshua and Caleb saw the very same thing that those other 10 spies saw. They say they saw the same giants, the same cities, the same walls, the same fortresses. They saw everything else those spies saw. But the one thing that those other spies neglected to see was, with God, we can take it no matter what it looks like. They believed this Bible principle. Go to the book of Nehemiah. Look in the book of Nehemiah. A lot of years have transpired. From Numbers chapter 13 and 14 until you get over to the book of Nehemiah, you could round it off and say 1,000 years have passed. Israelites have been on a roller coaster of faith up and down in their service to God. When you get to the book of Nehemiah, they have now returned from Babylonian captivity where they had been for 70 years. They've returned and now they are coming back to again settle in the promised land. In fact, when you get to the book of Nehemiah, some of these Jews had already been in the promised land, back there settling for about 90 years since that first group that Zerubbabel had brought back with him. When you get to Nehemiah chapter 1, Nehemiah gets word about what is transpiring back in his homeland. He has not yet returned unto the promised land. He's still a cupbearer over there in a foreign land, but he gets word back of what the land is like, his home country, where his people are. And in Nehemiah chapter 1 and verse 2, or in verse 3, he receives word the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province, they're great in distress and reproach. It's not a message of success that he receives. He's told in verse 3, the wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. It's not looking good. We've been over there for 90 years. A lot more should have taken place. We should be in a lot better shape, but we're not. What does Nehemiah do? What does he do in verse 5? In verse 5, I pray, O Lord God of heaven. When Nehemiah started to be concerned about the condition of his people, what did he do? He turned to God. Why did he do that? Because he believed this principle. Go to chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem. He scouts out the city. He goes and he views the walls all broken down. And then he brings the leaders of the Jews together in verse 17. And he says to them in Nehemiah 2 and verse 17, you see the distress we are in. Oh yeah. We've seen it a lot longer than you, Nehemiah. We've been here. We understand how bad it is. You see the distress we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire. We're in bad shape. Why haven't we rebuilt this already? Why aren't things improving? So he says to them in verse 17, come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem. You think they'd ever had that thought before? You think they'd ever tried to do it before? Perhaps on their own they had thought about it, but without success. But you see, when Nehemiah came on the scene, he believed that with God we can. So he not only said in verse 17, come and let us build, but look at what he does in verse 18. In verse 18, he told them, he says, I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me. You see, you can't rebuild these walls on your own, but with God we can. And so what did they say in verse 18? All right then, come and let us build. As soon as they heard about the goodness of God and that with God we can, it changed the heart of these individuals. So in chapter 3, what do? They start building the wall. Go to chapter 4. In chapter 4, you have these enemies that come. You read about Sanballat and Tobiah. You read about these individuals who want to come and to discourage the builders. They want to defeat their faith. They want to bring them down and get them to stop building. And so you read about that in Nehemiah chapter 4. And in fact, they are furious in verse 1. They're very indignant. They're mocking the Jews. Can you imagine building this wall? And all of a sudden, these people come around and they're angry with you and they're making fun of you. What does Nehemiah do in verse 4? Praise to God. Here are these enemies trying to defeat them, and what does he do? No. You're not going to defeat us. You're not going to turn us away. He turns to God because with God we can. Look at verse 6. So we built the wall. It doesn't matter what people try to get us to stop doing. We're going to keep doing this for God because with God we can. So we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together. People had a mind to work. Look in verse 8. As these enemies continued to conspire against them and to attack them, tried to create confusion, these enemies are doing all that they can to bring them down. But look at what Nehemiah does. Get down to verse 14. He says, remember the Lord, great and awesome. You go down to verse 20, the end of verse 20, our God will fight for us. Nehemiah would not allow these Israelites to forget that with God we can do this. Go to chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6, these enemies continue to come after him. You know, the Bible says that if you resist the devil, what will he do? He'll flee from you. But guess what he's going to do later on? He's going to come back. You know, the Bible says that when the devil tempted Jesus, that he tempted him those three times in Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. And then it says he departed for a season. That means he came back. He didn't leave forever. He returned. The devil is a lot like Sanballat and Tobiah, or maybe Sanballat and Tobiah are a lot like the devil. You can kick him back. You can say no all you want, but then he just keeps on coming. Well, here's Sanballat and Tobiah. They come back again in chapter 6. And I say, hey, why don't you come down here? Just come and talk to us. Let's just come and work something out here. Nehemiah says, I've got too important of a work to come down and bother you. Now look in verse 4 of chapter 6. They sent this message four times. In verse 5, they sent it a fifth time. They're not stopping. You ever feel like sometimes the devil's got your number? And he just keeps coming at you and keeps coming at you and keeps coming at you. Finally, in verse 9, they were all trying to make us afraid. Anybody ever tried to deter you from serving God? Anybody ever tried to upset or overcome or turn over your faith? Look at the very next verse in verse 9. They were making us afraid, saying their hands will be weakened in the work and it will not be done. And look at what Nehemiah does at the end of verse 9. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Here are the enemies trying to deter them from serving God. God, don't let them get us. Come down to verse 15. So the wall was finished. The wall was finished. In how many days does verse 15 say? In 52 days, the wall was finished. How, if it only took 52 days, why hadn't they done this the year before? The decade before? They'd been there 90 years. Why hadn't they done this before? Because there was a Bible principle that they apparently had forgotten. Look in verse 16. They built the wall in 52 days. Verse 16 says, it happened when our enemies heard it and all the nations around us saw these things that they were very disheartened in their own eyes. Why? Because they perceived that this work was done by our God. With God we can. The Israelites knew it when they stood at the promised land. Nehemiah knew it when he came back to settle the promised land a second time. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, this idea of the promised land is brought home to us. Because in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, we as Christians have a promised land. We have a rest that has been promised to us. We have an eternal home awaiting us in heaven. And so in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, the Bible says there remains a rest for the people of God. Look in verse 11. What are the first two words you have in verse 11? Let us get up and do this. There's a rest remaining for us. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. You know, going to heaven is going to require diligence. It's going to require hard work. It's going to require effort to get there. That's what verse 11 says. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. How can we possibly make it to heaven? How can we successfully arrive in the promised land? This passage tells us. Why is verse 12 in the Bible? We quote this verse, but never do we think about it in its context. How are we going to diligently make it to heaven? Verse 11 tells us. Verse 12 tells us, for the Word of God is living and active. We're not going to make it to heaven on our own, but with God we can. Look at verse 13 where the Bible says, there is nothing hidden from His sight. We're not going to make it to heaven on our own, but with God we can. Look in verse 13, look at verse 14. We're not going to make it to heaven on our own. What does verse 14 say? Seeing then, I like that word in the King James, seeing, the idea is that we're looking, we can observe this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Where is he now? He has passed through the heavens. He's there seeing, sitting at the right hand of God. How can we make it to heaven? How can we make it to the promised land? Not on our own. But with God and His Word we can. But with God and His presence, seeing everything that we do in verse 13, we can. But with Jesus as our forerunner, showing us the way, interceding for us in order that we might make it there, we can. This principle is exemplified over and over throughout the Bible. Do we believe it? Do we truly believe that with God we can? This principle is not only exemplified in the lives of individuals in the Bible, it's emphasized on every page. It's interesting when Jeremiah was getting ready to go into Babylonian captivity. He's a prophet of God, but he's going to have to go into captivity. And Jeremiah chapter 32, the Lord tells him to buy a piece of land there in Jerusalem. He says, Lord, I'm getting ready to go into captivity. Why do I need to buy a piece of land here? That doesn't make any sense. The Lord explained it to him, but here's what Jeremiah learned. Here's what Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. There is nothing too hard for God. You believe that? If it's true, with God we can. Do you believe what Jeremiah said? That there is nothing too hard for God. Do you know that Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, was barren and could not have children? You think God can take care of that? You know, Mary was a virgin, but she was with child. How did she become with child? In that passage in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37, we see something very similar to what Jeremiah said in Luke chapter 1 and verse 37. The Bible tells us, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you see the word nothing in those two verses? Do you understand that there is nothing too hard for your God? Do you understand that there is nothing that is impossible for your God? Do you believe that with God we can? Matthew chapter 19, Jesus talked about how difficult it is for individuals, especially those who are rich in this world, to be saved. And the disciples asked, well, how can anybody be saved? And He tells them in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 26, with God all things are possible. I want you to tie those passages together. Nothing with God is impossible. All things with God are possible. Do you believe that? Do you believe that in your heart, that we can do what God wants us to do with God on our side? Do you believe that? Do you understand that? How would you like to have been Job and to have a conversation with God and to have God put you in your place? Chapter after chapter, question after question in those closing chapters of the book of Job. until finally Job would say in Job chapter 42 and verse 2, I know, and the word you, but I supply the word God here, I know you can do everything. Nothing's withheld from your hand. Do you believe that about God? Do you believe that God can do everything? How big is our faith? How much do we truly believe in the power of God? How much do we truly believe in the love of God? Turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians. That passage that was read in Philippians chapter 4 is where I want us to finish as we look at this book of Philippians just briefly. When you turn to the book of Philippians, there are some challenges. Remember what we said at the beginning, the Christian life is a challenge. There are some challenges that we have as a Christian. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, the Bible tells us, let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. How can my conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ? Well, with God, it can. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27, he also tells us to strive together for the faith of the gospel. How can I do that? Well, with God, we can. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 2, he tells us to be of one mind. How can all of us, as diverse as we are, how can we all be of one mind? With God, we can. He tells us in Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done out of selfish ambition or conceit. How can I establish a mind of Christ? Well, with God, I can do that. Do you believe that? Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, we're taught to press toward the goal, to put our mind to succeeding and achieving our goal of reaching heaven. How can I make it to heaven? How can I press toward that goal? Only with God can I do that. Philippians 3 and verse 20, we're told that we are to eagerly wait for the return of the Son of God. We're citizens of heaven, from which we are to eagerly wait for the Son of God to return. Are we eagerly waiting? How can we do that? Well, with God we can. We're told in Philippians 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. How often? Always. How can I rejoice always? With God we can. We're told in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. How in the world can I not be anxious about anything? You got this? With God we can. In Philippians 4 and verse 8, we're told we need to control our thoughts. How can I ever learn to control my thoughts? With God we can. You got the principle? You get down to verses 11 and 12. We've got to learn as individuals to be content with such things as we have. How can I ever learn to be content? You know the answer? With God we can. Because that's what verse 13 says. Verse 13 says, I can do all things. How many things? All things through Him who strengthens me. There is a Bible principle, brethren, that we've got to have, not just in memory, we've got to have deep in our heart, with God we can. It's exemplified throughout the pages of our Bible. It is emphasized over and over that God can do everything. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, what does that have to do with Palm Beach Lakes? Those 11, how many letters? I lost count how many letters that is. Those letters, with God we can, are going to be the theme for this congregation in 2015. For this year, we are going to be emphasizing this theme of with God we can. We're going to have lessons this year around this theme of with God we can. We're going to have special emphases every month to help us to remember, to help us to have ingrained in our hearts, to help us to not forget when the going gets tough, that with God we can. Let me share with you a little bit about what 2015 is going to look like for Palm Beach Lakes. With this theme of with God we can, every month is going to have its own sub-theme. Every month is going to have its own emphasis off of this theme. In January, this month, with God we can evangelize the world. If you've been a part of this congregation for any length of time, you know that's true. And you know what January is about in this congregation. Last Sunday of this month, on January 25th, is Mission Sunday. where every dollar, every cent that's given on that day will be used for mission work by this congregation. This congregation has averaged nearly $120,000 in giving on that day since 2004. That's how much this congregation knows and believes that with God we can evangelize the world. This congregation is not trying to evangelize the world by itself. And we're not trying to do it for ourselves. We're doing it because with God we can do that. In February, the emphasis that month is, with God we can find a place to serve. You know, a congregation is made up of so many people, and yet sometimes there are only a handful of people who have a place to work and to serve in the congregation. Sometimes there are individuals in a congregation that they really don't have a part to play. They don't really feel like they are involved in the work of the church. 2 years ago, we introduced what's called Laborers Together with God, and we tried to get something for everyone to be able to do in the church. And in February of this year, we are going to refresh that list. We're going to renew and present additional opportunities where every member of this congregation, on February 8th, second Sunday of February, February 8th is Laborers Together with God Sunday, where you will have hundreds of opportunities presented to you that our deacons and our members have put together to say, here are opportunities and areas where you can get involved, where you can find a place to serve. Then on the next Sunday in February, on February 15th, something exciting is coming, something that's called family groups. We've had for the last several years what have been called cornerstone groups. Before that, we had agape groups. Before that, we had area groups. Before that, we had zone groups. Before that, we had Noah and his wife and his three sons and their three wives. But on February 15th, you'll be introduced to family groups. Something that will be taking the place of our cornerstone groups, but will be doing something a little bit different than our cornerstone groups have been doing. And you might get the emphasis of what those groups are about creating that family atmosphere within this congregation. Cornerstone groups can continue to meet on Sunday nights until we get to that point in February, but be here on February 15th. I don't want to tell you anymore, but there are some exciting things that are going to happen with our family groups. Then you get to the month of March. And in March is our gospel meeting, and so tied in with our gospel meeting is our theme for that month. With God, we can anchor our hope in Christ. Our gospel meeting is March 1st through the 4th, the first week of March, Sunday through Wednesday. And the theme of our gospel meeting this year is America's Only Hope. You think we've got any hope? Think America's got any hope left? I'll tell you, the Bible says it's only got one hope. And our gospel meeting is going to center around America's only hope. And so that entire month, we're going to focus on anchoring, not just America's hope, our hope. Anchoring our hope in Christ. How do we do that? There's only one way we can do it. With God, we can make that happen. When you get to the month of April, with God, we can grow closer to one another. Here we are. You know, when God saved you, He didn't put you into isolation. He placed you into a body, into a family. And inside this body and inside this family, we need to be growing closer to each other. So we're going to have some activities that month. We're going to have some lessons that month. We're going to do some things that month that will help us as a congregation to grow closer to one another. Then you get to the month of May. In the month of May, with God, we can see souls around us. The first weekend of May is our Evangelism Training for Youth weekend. Hear that name, Evangelism Training for Youth weekend. May 1st and 2nd, Lonnie Jones is coming back to speak that weekend. And the emphasis that weekend is seeing souls. And the emphasis that weekend is obviously for our young people. So for that whole month, we're going to emphasize that as a congregation. With God, we can see souls all around us. So on May 17th, third Sunday of May, May 17th, we're going to have a Bring a Friend Day. Seeing souls around us and inviting them to come and to worship with us, especially on that Bring a Friend Day on May 17th. In the month of June, With God, we can equip our young people. The month of June is saturated with stuff for our kids. The first Sunday, June 7th, Promotion Sunday, when our kids get promoted to their next grade. Third week, June 21st through 24th, our Vacation Bible School. In the month of June will be our Leadership Training Camp, Senior High Mission Trip. It's a month saturated with activities for especially our junior high, senior high, and all of our kids. And so here's a month that as a congregation we will emphasize, with God we can. Not just entertain our young people, that's not what we're trying to do. Equip our young people to get to heaven. We won't do that on our own. We'll fail miserably, try to do it on our own. But with God, we can. You get to the month of July. With God, we can fortify our faith. Does our faith need to be fortified? We're going to have lessons that month. We're going to have things that happen that month to help us to really fortify our faith in God. Obviously, the last week is always our week up at Central Florida Bible Camp. And obviously, that week helps our kids to have their faith fortified. You get to the month of August. With God, we can worship more meaningfully. Month of August, it's one of those months, one of the 4 months in the year that has five Sundays. You know that the Bible talks about, teaches us in the New Testament, there are five acts of worship for New Testament worship. So what do you think is going to happen on those five Sundays in the month of August? Each Sunday will emphasize and help us to focus in on how we are to worship God and how we can involve all of those acts of worship and do them more meaningfully. In the month of September, with God we can strengthen our marriages. Is that needed today? Are there any marriages that don't need strengthening? So in that month, we're going to focus in on with lessons and activities. The second weekend, September 11, 12, and 13, we've got a marriage enrichment seminar that weekend. Neil Pollard, he's been here before. Neil Pollard going to be coming back. He's out in Denver working with Bear Valley School of Preaching out there. He's going to be coming and conducting marriage enrichment seminar for us on that second weekend of September to help us with God to strengthen our marriages. The month of October, with God we can restore His church. We cannot lose sight of the fact that God has given us the pattern for New Testament Christianity, given us the pattern for His church, and we need to get back into His pattern and to make sure that we are following it and truly restoring New Testament Christianity in the 21st century. And so that's what will be happening that month. We will be talking about the unique nature of the church. Obviously, during this month, in the month of October, is our weekend, our spiritual enrichment weekend, and that'll be a part of the month of October. As well, you get to November. And in November, with God, we can prepare for His coming. How are we going to be ready for the second coming of Jesus? Well, with God, we can get ready for it. And so our lectureship is always in November every year. And so November 5th through the 8th, that first full weekend of November, will be our lectureship. And the theme of our lectureship is going to be tied right in. You see that the month and the activity in that month are going to be trying to associate with each other. And so our theme for the lectureship is Ready at His Coming. It's a study of the book of books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. In order to help us as a congregation to understand that with God, we can prepare for His coming. And then the last month of this year in December, we'll spend a month focusing in on with God, we can live closer to Him. We'll talk about some practical ways and some things that we can do as a congregation to draw closer to Him, to live closer to Him every day. 2015 is going to be an exciting year at Palm Beach Lakes. A lot of great things are going to be happening. In case you didn't get all of those things as we went through them, as you leave this morning on both sides of the lobby, there is a calendar of events that has been prepared for you that has the theme for each of the months, that has the calendar of events of everything that's going to be happening that month, along with some of these special emphases that we've mentioned, so that you can take home today a calendar and mark everything down on your 2015 calendar to know exactly what's going to be happening this year, so that you can be prepared to be involved and to be a part of all that's going to happen. May we this year May we live like we truly believe that with God we came. That it's not just some slogan, not just some logo we're going to see around the building, but that it is deep within our heart that no matter what challenges, and we're going to have them, no matter what challenges come my way as a Christian, with God we can overcome them. Let us encourage each other. This isn't just something we need to focus on when we're inside the walls of this building. Let's encourage each other this year personally to understand and to have reaffirmed in each of our lives that with God we can. Let's spend this year drawing closer together with each other. Pick up one of those calendars as you leave this morning. Now, what would a theme be? What would a theme be without a t-shirt? You know what I mean? What? How can you have a theme without having a t-shirt to go along with it? So, those of you that have email and that we have your email address and are members of this congregation, in about two minutes, you're going to be receiving an email that has information about ordering these t-shirts. $15 for a t-shirt. You can get a blue, a gray, or a pink if you really want to have a pink. There are tote bags that have been prepared. Everything's $15. If you don't have email, then I'm going to take these and put these on the table out in the lobby. If you don't have email, then there are some order forms that have been prepared. They'll be on this first table as you leave this morning with the cute little pictures of the shirts and the bags that have been prepared. Make sure we know your size. But the orders have to be placed by next Wednesday. You got to give us your orders by a week from this Wednesday. We need your money by the last Wednesday of this month. $15 for each of them, and hopefully everything will be here by the first Sunday of February if you follow the deadlines. But if you want a T-shirt, order a T-shirt. If you want four T-shirts, if you want seven T-shirts, one for every day of the week, order as many as you like. But let's allow this to be a reminder to us as well, that wherever we go and that whatever we do, with God we can. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. You know, every time we start a new year, perhaps some of us have a desire to read through the Bible. Perhaps some of us have a desire to have daily devotionals. Just last week, we received copies and just learned about this recently. Paul Sain, who's been here before, he is producing, and it's being written by a number of different preachers, he is producing a year-long daily devotional book. Now, it's not tied to a specific year. It's just tied to the days of each month. And so it doesn't say Sunday, January 4th. It just says January 4th. But there will be four booklets this year, one for each quarter. This has January, February, and March in it. But it's just a short daily devotional. It's only about 100 words. It has a verse at the top of the page, and it has about 100 words about that verse. So it's very short. Wouldn't take you very long to read it. But if you want to pick one of these up for your family, if you want to pick one of these up to keep in your home, where you as a family can read this together, you as a couple can read this together, you as an individual can pick this up every morning and read it. We have limited copies, so it's not a free-for-all, take one for all your neighbors. But these are also out on the tables in the lobbies. They're in boxes out there. If you'd like to have a daily devotional book, pick one up. Come the end of March, when this one's running out, we'll have the next batch ready here for you to pick up on a Sunday. But this will help us to do what we're trying to do in December, to live closer to Him, because with God we can. May God help us to make this one of the greatest years ever, personally and collectively, in serving Him together. Amen. Are you a Christian? You know, you won't enter the promised land of heaven all on your own. But with God, we can enter the promised land. If you're not a Christian this morning, the Bible makes it very clear what you need to do. The Bible says if you believe with all of your heart that Jesus is God's Son, do you believe that? That He died for you on the cross, that He was buried, but He didn't stay in that tomb. 3 days later, He came out of that tomb, alive again to be your Lord and your Master. If you believe that with all of your heart and are ready to turn away from selfish, sinful living, Turn away from sin. I want to stop doing wrong. I want to start doing right. I want to turn to God, give my life to Him. That's what the Bible calls repentance. And if through faith in your heart, you're ready to turn to God today, and you can do what the Bible says. You can confess that faith that's in your heart before men. And this very day, you can be baptized. Immersed, Galatians 3 and verse 27, immersed into Christ, where His blood will wash away every sin you've ever committed, where God will add you to His church, and then He will register your name in the promised land. He'll register your name in heaven. And then as a child of God, to follow His commands, as a child of God, to walk daily with Him, to walk in the light as He is in the light, not trying to be faithful all on your own, but knowing only that you can serve Him and be faithfully if you do it with Him, and that He'll help you do it. Are you a Christian this morning? Are you a faithful Christian this morning? This church can help you. There's a baptistry ready. There are individuals ready to help you today. If we can help you get right with the Lord, come right now as together we stand and sing.